very good morning to you. Assalamu alaikum, namaste, or sasrikaal. It's Kaiser Mahmood here this morning. I'm really sorry. It's been a little bit of a delayed start for me this morning, and that was due to an accident on the way when I was coming here. But anyway, we are finally here, and first of all, I've got to say good morning to Abdullah, who's listening in Bangladesh and saying, how are you? And sending a very good morning to everybody, to all of our listeners around the world. So, Abdullah, I hope the weather in Bangladesh is nice in Dhaka. I hope things are well there for you as well. You're listening to Radio Sangam on 107.9 FM, and of course on DAB Digital in Glasgow, Manchester and Birmingham, and around the world on our app and online. And you know, there's so many ways that you can listen to Radio Sangam that if I reeled them off, there wouldn't be much time to say anything else. But I've got to get straight into this. It's a very busy, packed morning this morning, and partly that's due to me being delayed, so we're running a little bit behind on everything. But my first guest this morning is Stuart Hale. Good morning to you, Stuart. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, I'm good, and I think I owe you an apology for the discussion we had yesterday, where I said we'll be sort of broadcasting to thousands, and then you reminded me it was 3.5 million over 55 countries. I sort of fell over backwards, really. But yeah, good to be here.
It's good to meet you as well. We've spoken on the phone a number of times, and Stuart is the prospective candidate for Huddersfield for the Brexit Party, and you might have heard that we've had over the last couple of weeks or so, we're having all the candidates for the different parties coming in and just saying hello, hi, getting to know them, and just getting to ask them about their views, their opinions as well. Stuart, a little bit about yourself. You're a Huddersfield person?
Well, I see myself as a Huddersfield person. I was born in Leeds, in Bramley, in Leeds.
Right, okay.
Come from a large family. There's 10 of us in the family. Born on a council estate in Leeds, and proud of it.
Right.
A very working class family, a very labour driven family. So I grew up in the sort of late 60s, early 70s. You know, you could leave your door open, everybody knew each other in the street, you could play in the park, you didn't have to worry about things. That's my background. But I fell in love in Huddersfield about 1994 when I worked here. I used to be the deputy manager down at the old W.H. Smith's Do It All that's used to be down at where the bedding
room is. Yeah.
So that was my first sort of venture into Huddersfield. And I've since then I sort of worked and studied here. I studied at the university. I did my business degree here for 4 years. Enjoyed it so much, I then decided to do a law degree as well, which really sort of, if you like, stemmed my interest in politics. I've got a house to be home first, so yeah.
Right, okay. So, and you're standing for the Brexit Party?
Yeah, that's right. So, I suppose, you know, why, you know?
It's the obvious question.
You know, I see myself, you know, I keep saying to people I'm not a politician, but actually, I was reminded last night at the Hustings in Huddersfield that legally I am a politician now, so yeah, it doesn't fit well for me. I see myself as very much a working class guy. I've got a family. I work like everybody else. I get to work at 8, I finish at 6, I work hard. I want a good life for my family, and you know, prosperity and all that. So getting into politics is something that, yeah, a little bit of putting your head above the parapet, I suppose, is the way I put it. I sat down back in March and watched the politics unfold, and you know, I was really, really, you know, there's a lack of trust in our politics massively. And when I sat there in March and just saw the whole Brexit thing unfold, the Tory party trying to put the Brexit through with 68% of them Remainers, it was just a farce. And, you know, what's gone from a respected democracy, the UK now, we're just seen as very inept. And I had to do something. And the thing that inspired me was, you know, I come from a working class background, and you know, the Labour's sort of moved away from that. And I'll talk about that a little bit later. But what inspired me was the fact that, I wanted to do something. I just couldn't sit back. There was a guy on Radio 4, and I was listening to this guy that was an independent standing for the European elections, and he said that, you know, he chucked the cat at the telly and he decided to do something. And I thought, you need to do something, Stuart. So I looked around, and, you know, where was my political allegiance? I'd floated around a bit throughout my political time, if you like. And I just sat there, and it was Anne Widdecombe, actually, and it was her that mentioned that, you know, she'd 55 years in the Conservative Party. She left the Conservative Party after Theresa May lied about the withdrawal agreement, and she joined the Brexit Party. So I looked at the Brexit Party. I don't think we've got a great brand, if I'm honest. I think that the brand, the Brexit Party, there's a lot of things that stick to our brand, which which people, you know, if you look under the surface and look at our policies and what we represent and what we want to do and change British politics for good, I think we'll see a big increase in the number of supporters. But we are tainted with this brand Brexit and all the connotations of, you know, trade and leaving the EU and falling off a cliff and, you know, immigration. It all sticks to that brand of ours. And I think one of the things when we're successful at getting to Huddersfield and getting MPs into Parliament is looking at our branding and getting a clear message out to everybody. So I went down to Doncaster in May and met just after the European elections, 29 MEPs into Parliament. That's the biggest party in the European Parliament. And so I thought, well, I better sit up and listen. Wasn't a great fan of Nigel Farage, I'll be honest with you. It didn't sort of float my boat, if I'm honest. So I went down and I met just people like me and you, just common people. I was talking to taxi drivers, single mums, market traders. These were people that were standing in the Brexit party. And that really inspired me. And I came away from that meeting in Doncaster thinking, I want to be part of this. I want to be part of this movement, that this unique opportunity we've got in British politics. And I don't think we'll get this opportunity again to change British politics with such a toxic message of Europe has galvanised people into two areas. So we've got a chance to change British politics and vote the Brexit Party into power. If we can get 50, 60 seats into Parliament, we can make a huge difference for the generations that will follow us, really. I'm sounding like a politician, aren't I?
Already.
Already.
Well-versed. well, I mean, I think Theresa May would certainly take an issue by you saying her lies. I mean, she'll probably say, well, everything's quite open and it was in front of everybody and debated within the Houses of Common. But you yourself have gone down this route of the Brexit Party.
Yep.
You've decided, you've floated around, like you say, and you've decided to go for this particular party, and you've said that it's normal, ordinary people that you've met. What is it about the Brexit Party that was the point at which you thought, right, okay, this is the one for me? What was it about the Brexit Party that attracted you to their policies?
I think, well, you know, the British political system is for over a century now, nearly a century, has been dominated by two parties. And the motivation for the party, as we saw in March, it was quite clear in March that politicians look after themselves first, they look after the party second, and then the country third. And it's always been that way. And if you go through our history, we've bounced around between left and right politics. We've had some centrist politics with Tony Blair and John Major, but we've bounced around. And I think for me, proportional representation is what's key. You know, look at UKIP's vote in the last general election. I think it was 5.4, was it 7, whatever. It was over 5 million and no representation in the Houses of Parliament. So proportional representation was one thing that attracted me to it. But the key thing we have here, and this is what I feel extremely passionate about, is our democracy. You know, our democracy, it's one of the oldest democracies. It's an envied democracy, and we have a very open democracy, and that's been challenged here. 17.4 million people voted to leave, and that was our democratic vote. That was it. I actually think that number's gone up. I know a few people that voted to leave that are regretting it, but we don't talk about them. So we have to leave Europe. That's our democratic vote. If we decide in 5 years' time at the next general election that we want to go back into Europe, I'll wholeheartedly support it if that's the majority that want to go into Europe. So I don't want to wake up on Friday the 13th with a Labour stroke SNP or a Labour stroke Liberal alliance that's going to take us, or it's going to keep us in Europe, because then we're going to have 17.4 people extremely annoyed and frustrated at our democratic process that's broken. So I'm fighting for our democratic process, absolutely, first and foremost.
But I suppose a Conservative candidate or Boris Johnson would say, well, I'm doing exactly what you want. I'm fighting for democracy. I'm fighting for the 17.4 million people. I'm wholeheartedly gung-ho about Brexit. The tagline that I'm using is, let's get Brexit done. And I've repeated that a million times, and that's what I'm doing. So you know, join me, because I'm doing exactly what you want.
Do you know, I spend a lot of time in my business. I've worked for some great brands, and I've worked with lots of people. And you know, when you work with people, you start to see certain behaviours that tell you when they're telling you the truth. And unfortunately, you know, Boris, for all his pluses, is an habitual liar. You know, you can see that. And that's the frustrating thing. You know, he was going to be in a ditch, wasn't he, on the 1st of November, and that never happened. And, you know, we're here today. We've just had 10 years of austerity. You and I have got to work an extra 2 years because our pensions have been moved. We're never going to get that back. If the economy grows at 10% next year and we're all in happy days, we'll never get that 2 years back. We have to go out there and deliver that 2 years. So, you know, we had 10 years of austerity, you know, poverty's grown, food banks have grown, and we've cut back and cut back and cut back, and here we are sat on in the 2019 thinking, right, austerity's finished, we can now move forward. And what are Tories doing, what are Labour doing? Every morning on the radio, they're throwing more cash at it. Do they think we're stupid as an electorate? You know, they're just throwing money and more money at the electorate to try and persuade them in. And you've got to understand, it's about trust. It's who you trust in politics, you know. And that for me is key. And I think the Tories have absolutely lost trust. There's no two ways about that. Does that answer your question?
Do you not feel the Brexit Party is creating issues? You know, Nigel Farage initially said, right, OK, we're going to field candidates in every single constituency, yep, in the UK. And then I don't know whether he did a deal or he didn't do a deal with the Conservative Party, but maybe some discussions took place. And then he decided in key areas, or certainly in the Conservative areas, he was not going to field candidates. You know, if he is such a believer in the cause... And if he thinks, you know, that the Brexit Party has got it right, the policies are right, the philosophy is right, and it's right for the country, he shouldn't really be bothered about any other party. He should say, right, it's completely about the Brexit Party. It's us. We believe in this. So we're going to let the British people have a choice and choose whoever, wherever, and we will field candidates in every single constituency in the United Kingdom.
Absolutely great question, and totally agree with you. I was very disappointed when we stood those candidates down. Some of them are friends, they've worked extremely hard. It's not easy being a Brexit candidate to put your head above the parapet. You know, you've got friends and family that are either side of the Brexit debate, and you know, some of them go quiet and some of them come out and support you. So, you know, I was disappointed when we took that decision. But I understand the decision. The decision is we don't want a Labour or a Liberal Democrat alliance in Parliament. We don't want that, because that means that we'll be remaining in the EU, which is against the democratic vote, 17.4 million. So that's why Nigel made the decision to pull those candidates. Personally, I thought it was the wrong decision, but it's Nigel's decision, and it shows true leadership making a difficult decision. It can't have been easy on that Sunday afternoon. We gave the opportunity for the Tories to come into a pact and say, if you stand your Tories down, we'll just put the Brexit up. And that would never happen, because traditionally that's not what the Tories are about. And, you know, if you look at Ken Davey here in Huddersfield, Ken was a big Brexit supporter, financed us, you know, had a direct line into both Nigel and Richard. He helped facilitate the big conference that we had at the stadium. And I had a conversation with him, and we talked about, you know, he said, Stuart, don't worry, if we're not out by the 31st of October, come and talk to me. And then he went quiet for 2 weeks and pops up as the Tory candidate. So I see Ken very much as an opportunist. We know Labour are losing votes hand over fist in Huddersfield. And we know the fact that the shifting towards the Brexit Party and the shifting towards the Liberal Democrats. I don't think the shifting to the Conservatives, because culturally that's not what you do. You know, my parents voted Labour all their life, and, you know, my dad and my mum said to me, you know, back in, I think it was about October, that they're not going to vote this time. I said, you can't not vote, you know, even if you have to spoil your paper, you can't not vote.
OK, so, I mean, Ken isn't here to refute any of allegations, so we can't say what Ken's thoughts are and whatever on this. What is it about Europe that you don't like?
I don't like the institutions of Europe. You know, and how we've been tied in, and the bureaucracy, the unelected representatives that make huge decisions that affect our country. That's the thing I don't like. You know, the way we were treated. I'm going to give you a first here now. There's nobody else knows this, so this is a first for the radio. I actually voted to remain, mm-hmm. and realised 2 weeks after I made that vote, I made a huge mistake. And it was Barnier that changed my views. And we were going into negotiations, and he said, right, OK, we're going to teach the British a lesson here. We're going to make sure that no other country wants to leave the EU, so we're going to go in there and we're going to hit them hard. I'm sorry, but I've been in negotiations all over the world. I worked for Jaguar Land Rover as a development manager, a global development manager. I was travelling the world. You don't start negotiations from that footing, you know? And what really gets to me is the fact that, you know, Millions died on the battlefields of Europe to give Europe the freedom that it has today, and I think we forget that. I really do. I was at the Remembrance Service in Clitheroe, and we forget that. There must have been 2,000 people there. It was packed. And we forget the sacrifice that our soldiers have made, not just in two world wars, but since then. And for me, it was a slap in the face. And when I speak to people that voted Remain that are now Leave, they're exactly on the same page.
But, I mean, people like, you know, the family of Winston Churchill, for example, yeah, or other people like that might say to you, yeah, but millions fought and sadly sacrificed their lives for our freedom,
yeah,
and to bring peace in Europe, and being together as one organisation is probably the best way to keep peace in Europe and to keep Europe as one collective block, really, so that there is no fighting, or we don't see what sadly we saw in World War II and subsequently in Bosnia and various places, that together we can negotiate with things and act as one. The UK being out on a limb, and it's not the whole of the UK, you know, certainly Scotland and the SNPs carry on going on about, you know, the majority of people in Scotland voted to remain. Northern Ireland, exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know, the majority of people there voted to remain. So it's polarised, isn't it, even within the United Kingdom?
Well, I'm sure with any statistics we can pull from them and marginalise, and, you know, minorities in that respect. But, you know, as a United Kingdom, as a collective United Kingdom, we voted to leave. And, you know, we have to deliver on that mandate, because, you know, if we don't, then what is our democracy? I know I'm repeating myself, but what is our democracy? And, you know, it's going to be interesting on the 13th. You know, we're going to wake up, we're going to look at a new landscape in British politics. What I'd like to see is I'd like to see the political establishment sort of shaken at the roots, at the core, that lets them say that, you know, ordinary people like me are fed up watching them in Parliament. You know, the bickering, it's not about individuals, it's about the country, you know. And if we can get between 50 and 60 Brexit MPs into Parliament, that would be phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal.
Do you not feel that immigration or people are sort of, not full, but, you know, integration within Europe, or us working with Europe to a certain extent, and the movement of people to a certain extent, has brought more benefits than harm to the United Kingdom?
That's a good question. I sort of remind people, we're not leaving Europe. We're leaving the EU. We're leaving the establishments of the EU. We're still Europeans. You know, Britain suddenly doesn't get shifted out into the Atlantic Ocean. We're still part of the European Union.
And, yeah, but in reality, when we sorry to cut you off,
that's
there,
okay.
But when we kind of the deal that we're going for, In reality, what we're trying to do is restrict the movement of people and the flow of the free movement of people, let's say. And we know that there's a huge shortage in the NHS of nurses. When we look around, certainly my doctors, there's five of them in one building, and not a single one has a heritage that belongs from this country, from Britain. You know, they've all come from somewhere else initially, or their parents have, or their grandparents have, and people from other countries have probably helped the United Kingdom quite significantly in its economy, yeah, in its culture, in its values, in its traditions, and people from Europe much more recently that have come in. You've seen that more businesses have popped up. Different languages are spoken. There's a nice tapestry of cultures and things happening. And the thing about, you know, people coming and taking our jobs, well, a lot of the jobs that a lot of people do are in areas where there was a lot of vacancies and
absolutely. When you say, you know, that's not my comments. I don't sign up to people taking our jobs. That's not what we're about. Mm-hmm. You know, we need people to come into this country and work in this country. We want to make it you know, appealing for everybody to come in. We're going to introduce a points based system. We're not saying we're going to stop it. We're just saying we're going to control it. We have to control it. If you remember two or three years ago, we couldn't even put a number on the number of people coming into the country. Was it 80,000? Was it 300,000? Was it? It was absolutely shambolic. And what we're about is, you know, we want an Australian's point system of bringing people in. We want to attract the best doctors, nurses, carpenters, plumbers, whatever, from around the world. And we just need a point system to bring them in so we can control it. Okay. We don't want mass immigration that's not controlled. So, you know, when people say taking jobs, you know, my partner, she's Asian, and she's a wonderful individual. She was born in the Philippines. She came over here 18 years ago, and she's worked extremely hard, and she's a good example of what we're about, you know. Okay. We're a great country. We're a multicultural country. I've travelled the world. I've worked in the Middle East. I've been out to Asia, Australia, and you speak to people, and you look at some of the social problems they've got. We are envied. We really are envied across the world, our country, when it comes to how diverse we are.
Well, we are. I mean, the United Kingdom is a great nation, and is a nation that's done some wonderful things around the world, and for people here as well. There's no denying that. I mean, there's been some negatives as well, around the world.
Just to go back to what I was saying about, you know, I'll go back to our brand, the Brexit Party, you know. I put my head above the parapet, and, you know, I've been called all sorts of things over the last 6 weeks, things I wouldn't share, obviously. And people don't know me, they don't know my background, and, you know, they don't know what we're about. And we're stuck with that label, unfortunately, and it's there. But I'd ask people to just go on our website, HuddersfieldBrexitParty.org, go and have a look at our policies and really dig down and see what the Brexit Party is all about. And I tell you what, you'll be surprised. Somebody asked me the other day about the polls, and, you know, you're behind in the polls. I've knocked on over 2,500 doors. Look at my hands, they're covered in blisters. And, you know, when you talk to people, they say to me, do you know what, we're going to vote the Brexit Party, but we're not going to tell people. And I say, well, why is that? And it's our brand. It's the brand that's just got that, it's got that negativity around, you know, everybody that wants to throw everything that's wrong about this whole deal, they'll throw it at the Brexit Party. Not the Conservatives, not Labour, the Brexit Party. But when you dig down and you look at our policies and what we're about, you'll be surprised. And I find it encouraging that we're only a small party in Huddersfield. We don't have the 200-year legacy that the Conservatives have. We don't have the 80 years that the Labour Party have got. We don't have hundreds of people. We've got a small team of extremely talented and committed individuals that are out there knocking on doors and putting leaflets through. And when I'm knocking on doors and talking to people, for me, that is by far the best motivation.
Yeah. Stuart, thank you very much for coming in. I'm so sorry. We have run out of time today because we're going to be speaking to Bernardo's in about a minute and a half about how many children go without presents and a traditional meal this Christmas, and what they're doing to help with that. So we've got somebody from Bernardo's on at 10:30 in a few seconds. But you've chosen two pieces of music which we will play a little later on this morning. One is Elvis Presley, If I Can Dream, and the other one is by Mohit Chauhan from the film Tamasha Matrageshti. In a few seconds, few
right,
sentences,
well,
tell us.
I'm a big Elvis Presley fan, and you know, the song If I Can Dream was inspired by Martin Luther King, and if you listen to the lyrics, it just always lifts me. It makes the one hair I've got on my head stand. And the other one is Jo, my partner. She watches a lot of Bollywood and stuff, and she knew I was coming in. She was excited and said, oh, I said, well, if I can get your song on the radio. So that's the song that Jo wants.
Brilliant. We'll play those after 11 o'clock today. I'm so sorry it's been kept short today. However, there might be another opportunity for you to come in, and if not, maybe phone in and have a chat. And you've given people something to think about, at least. You know.
Yeah, look, thanks for having me. And as I said, I encourage people to do a bit of homework, and you know, let's make this an election to remember.
Thank you very much.